A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
And I'm joined by Paul Carrington again, my mate, my great friend Paul.
He thinks
good
I'm
to
his
see
friend.
You again.
He thinks I'm his friend.
Well, it's been a bloody long time, man. Do you know, it's funny because the other week when you were around here and we were chatting, I thought, hell's teeth, how long have we known each other?
And you thought how young I still looked.
Well, you are the original Peter Pan. And you really?
He's my older brother.
Is it monkey glands? Is
yeah, he's my older brother, yeah. It's called tea.
Tea pan.
Tea pan, yeah.
Not frying pan.
Yeah. And James Bond's brother, Brooke.
It's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time we've known each other.
Over 40 years.
Is it really? Holy shit.
Well, 12 if you want to count. We're only 23.
Yeah.
12, yeah. I'll say 12. Yeah, that would be better, wouldn't it?
We were educated in Stengrain Comprehensive School, so there was always a bit
that
of...
That was a real education, wasn't it?
It was. Well, yeah, streetwise education.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But actually, talking about that, I know, you know, the other week when you was round here, I couldn't find, for some unknown reason, Born to be Wild.
You couldn't find Steppenwolf.
I couldn't find it. Yeah, it was there somewhere in the box, but I just couldn't find it. But I've dragged it out, so I'm going to open the show tonight with that.
With the national anthem.
Oh, yeah. It's
this just reminds me of sitting there with the ape hangers up in the air.
Ape hangers, yeah, what a great...
Ape hangers, two foot long hair, my Indian head band.
Yeah, Carewarns, do you remember them as well?
Absolutely.
Fantastic,
brilliant.
Man.
Putting a bit of extension on your pipe so you can stick them up in the air.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I had a sign on the back of mine instead of a backrest, and it said "Ride for Ride." And I had a buckle with Paul on it. It was that big.
Did you really?
It was incredible.
I don't remember the buckle. No, I don't remember that. But anyway, let's have a bit of one of the all-time favourites.
This is just...
I remember going to see the film.
Yeah, of course. You got it, right? But the funny thing was, at the time, when everybody was having a good woodbine, that's what I call them, when we had the woodbine, the film was brilliant.
Yeah.
But if you've actually seen the film, when you haven't had a smoke, it's a complete rubbish film.
Well, it is, actually.
The film's really just a piece of psychedelic crap if you're not having a bit of psychedelic to start with.
And I remember, I went to see, you'll remember the place, a real little shitty fucking picture house in Occupation Road in New England. Do you remember that?
Hell. Yeah.
And it was that was a real iffy gaff, that was. Real iffy gaff. Used to get a lot of...
feeling that I'm under.
Ladies of the Night used to go there.
I've written a song about that, Ladies of the
Night. Ladies of the Night?
Yeah, called Soho Life.
Oh, right.
Shady streets and low coloured lights.
Good.
Rode into space. Nature's Child. This was the real...
The anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the one. It was, yeah.
Actually, you were one of the first bikers I remember having a full-face helmet.
Was I really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
Because obviously none of us had them.
No.
That style of bikers didn't have them.
I was a massive fan of full-face helmets, yeah.
Well, you were a Sheen fan. You were the Barry
Sheen.
It was
all about scratching for me. Yeah, it was.
I remember your Suzuki.
Yeah.
I always remember that. Whoa, screamer.
Fantastic.
It was a screaming machine, wasn't it?
The only thing that was really Suzuki, or the original Suzuki, was the sign on it that said Suzuki. The rest of it was built by whoever and customised.
Did you have the one before, the Ram Air?
No, that was the air cooled. I had the water.
You had
water
the water cooled
753.
Didn't you?
Yeah. Fantastic thing. Which was basically that was the offshoot of the Works. RG 500 that my man Basil won the world title.
You've still got the jacket and everything from them.
Oh yeah, still got everything.
You've still got it, haven't you?
Oh yeah, still got everything, man. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Wonderful. Yeah. All the leathers, everything. When I raced them, and I've still got all of it.
Amazing, really.
Yeah, all of it.
Still got it.
Oh yeah.
They're all your guns.
Yeah, things. Some things you just don't get
explode
rid of.
Explode into space. Nature's child. Listen, there was this song just summed it up for us. And I don't know. Do you remember the Kona bar?
Yeah, I do.
For the bikers.
Yeah, I do.
I always said, you know. Yeah. That if I ever
spend
got wealthy,
time,
it's an Indian restaurant now.
We've ever got an wealthy. Indian restaurant?
If I ever got wealthy, I'd buy it back and turn it back into a bikers only Kona bar.
I'd support that, definitely. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
I remember when, because obviously we were the Hell's Angels of Peterborough.
Yeah.
And then a couple of lads from Windsor, I think it was in London, went off to America to meet the Oakland Hell's Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every gang of bikers copied them, basically.
Yeah.
And they said everybody had to affiliate to them, but that wasn't going to happen for bikers of our generation. So everybody changed the name. And Peterborough had several motorbike gangs then. We had a couple of us were still Hell's Angels, and then they had the Iron Horsemen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Black Axemen and the Disciples.
I remember those guys,
from Paston and
yeah.
from Yaxley. There were several gangs around.
A lot of friends in the Horsemen.
But the Kona Bar was neutral territory, wasn't it? It was the place
where
all bikers went.
Yeah.
Do you remember Deaf and Dumb Charlie?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he's still around and all.
Yeah.
He had that big sheepskin inside out with
the
colours on the back.
I forget why I did it, but I did a shot of that guy for the Evening Telegraph.
Did you?
On a feature, I just forget what it was. Bloody hell, that was a long time ago. It was one of the kind of first shots that I actually did, and it was a commission. Then it was published in the paper. But I can't remember what it was for. That's a long time ago.
There was a young black guy called, we called him Zulu.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And he used
well.
To hang around the Kona bar because he wasn't old enough to be in the back. And I met him at a funeral of Cod's, Mick Drury.
Yeah.
I met him a couple of years ago, and he's now the road captain of a motorcycle club called the Fen Crew.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What, out in the fens in?
Yeah, it's called the Fen Crew, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah, still amazing, still fervous.
Oh, yeah.
Still doing
still
it.
If they're not dead. Yeah, most of them are dead, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Yeah. Actually, talking about that, bikers and motorcycling, the rest of it, I mean, we could talk all night about that. But this was a really, really big band. And it's funny because, again, when I was researching for the show, I kind of put this out on social media that I was listening to this band. Don't know if you remember them, the Grand Dogs.
I remember the name.
Oh, dear. I saw the Grand Dogs 3 times. Tony McPhee, oh, fantastic, fantastic player. And I put this out on social media, and, man, did it get some reaction from a lot of bikers? Because these were a biking band.
Yeah, a biker band.
They're a biking band. So, but this is a bit of Hogs.
It's got that beat for it.
Oh dear.
Crown Dogs.
Wonderful. Yeah. Tony McPhee, I did some stuff with him quite a long time ago. I don't know, it must be 12 or 13 years, probably even longer now. But he had a stroke, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. The guy don't play as much as he did, which is a bit of a shame. But the Crown Dogs still tour with, I think, the original bass player. I think it was a guy called Cruikshank, if I remember right. That was his surname. And it's now somebody, we'll say Paul Cruikshank.
Yeah, it might have been Paul, actually.
Grand Dogs.
Well, people still, you know, talented people still around for years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, Del Bonham still plays.
Yeah, I know Del.
And
yeah.
I remember him when we went to see him astray.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still comes to Bedford and plays in his Squires at Bedford. I don't know if he comes to his Squires at Bedford, but...
I've never been there.
It's
a
great place. Probably everybody's played there. Oasis, Libertines, everybody's played at Esquires. And Del Bonham comes down and plays locally.
He's a nice chap.
He's very popular, yeah. He's very popular.
Good player.
And he's always good for a chat if you want to talk about the days when Stray were around. Yeah, he's always got plenty of time for the fans. You'd like Esquires. It's a real...
We'll have to catch up on weekend. I'll come over. And
there's always bands there on Sunday afternoon, evening, tea time. There's always bands on. It's always free. Danny's Bar is called. But every weekend there's some bars on. There's three places, three show rooms in there.
Yeah, after
there's always
over.
The modern bands and things in there. But, it's a great venue, Squires.
For quite a while.
Choir Boys come there quite a lot.
Yeah, I know those guys, yeah.
Well, the Choir Boys, Guy's dad actually owns a local music shop.
Oh, right.
Bruce. He owns the music shop in Bedford.
Right. I ain't been to Bedford for years.
He actually came across, he was in the same band as Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I think you mentioned to me.
Amazing, really.
Yeah. Well, these guys, you know, certainly jobbing musos, you know. They've worked with a lot of people. They've got a vast archive of stuff they've done with various different people.
Yeah, and because they're local, they're nice guys, you know, you still meet them in the same pub.
Yeah.
They're just friends.
Yeah.
They're not...
it's real, isn't it?
They're not
real.
Rock star. Yeah, they don't talk to people below. They're exactly like we are now.
Yeah.
They're people.
Yeah.
Which is what you need.
Yeah, yeah. It's important to remember where your roots are.
To remember where you come from and who your friends are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But you certainly meet a lot of people in work who are not like it. Oh, we've got the lemon cake out now.
Oh, yeah. Well, introducing this show's guest cake. It's got icing, isn't it? It's got icing.
Yeah.
Icing is, ooh, cosmic, man.
Cosmic,
icing.
Is it? You like it better? You're a bit of cosmic. That was one of your words, that was. You said a lot about a lot of things when we were lifeguards. Cosmic, man. Cosmic.
I've always talked shit, haven't I, really?
It was cosmic shit. Well, it was cosmic, wasn't it?
Fashionable.
What was that word? I always remember you saying it a lot. I was trying to think of something you said all the time. I think it was cosmic.
Was it really?
You
shit,
used a lot.
I don't know how you remember these things.
Well, I remember Bad Company being cosmic.
Bloody hell.
It was funny.
Is that what it is? A lemon?
Lemon sponge.
A lemon sponge.
I don't know what it is. A lemon sponge.
Look at me, man. That's serious.
Well, I bought that and the Battenbergs.
Brilliant.
I had no idea you were going to introduce. Like last time I came, you had coffee cake.
Oh, wow. And I wasn't told.
You wasn't told I'd own it.
You don't
come
eat. Either.
That is quite funny.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to indulge in a slice.
Carve a bit up, PC. Got to be done.
Do you actually want some as well?
Yeah, I'll have a yard.
A yard.
Yeah, job.
Have a yard.
Thank you, mate. Oh, wonderful cake. You've got to have cake Saturday night, haven't you? For a night in, you've got to have a bit of cake. What is life without cake? Know what I mean? Is that good or what?
That's not bad.
That is serious.
The cake's all right as well.
I'm going to play you something else that's very good. I was fortunate to see a documentary about this band. I'd already seen it a couple of times before, but I staggered across it. I think it was probably last weekend. I've been doing some stuff. I thought I'll get a bit of tube. And I think it's on yesterday or something, you know, on one of the Freeview channels. Other channels are available.
I've been trying to learn this the last two or three weeks to play acoustically.
Difficult.
It's really simple structure to play, the chords. But sometimes the chords change in not quite where the words are. So everybody tends to fit it into their form of music. But as long as it's in the same mode sort of thing.
Well, this is great, man, this cake.
It's cool,
it
isn't
really
it?
Hell. Yeah, it's really good. Oh, wow.
This has got the right catch in the chorus. It's a nice chill out tune. Quite a lot of Fleetwood Mac I like, but this one happens to
one of those kind of bands that you think if you was to pull out three tracks and have to shortlist it, you'd have to work hard to do that.
Yeah, I'd probably end up with All Along the Watchtower.
No, by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, by Fleetwood Mac, Jesus. Yeah, you would have to struggle.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, funnily enough, because I've got to say, I was a big fan of the Pete Green era.
Peter Green, yep.
Yeah, and actually, I've just been asked by a specialist rock book publisher for a couple of three shots when I did some stuff with Pete Green for a Pete Green documentary book that they're doing.
Brilliant.
So they were submitted to the publisher about 3 weeks ago, I think. And Pete's having a look to see whether he wants to run them in the book, which was nice. I mean, it's a long time since I did.
What's he doing nowadays?
Well,
Room?
He don't do a lot. He is doing a book. Yeah. Because he's going to use my shots. Couple of my images.
There's going to be a ghostwriter into...
I think it's a bit like a documentary of his life. Because the guy don't speak to anybody, he never leaves the house, and he doesn't play anymore, publicly, he doesn't perform. And I was very, very lucky to be able to shoot the guy, I don't know how long ago it was, probably 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
On a one-off gig that he did, I think he probably did only 3 or 4 shows, but I did it, caught up with him at Leicester de Montfort. But... wonderful, wonderful player, man. Seriously good.
This is us. Thunder only happens when it's raining. Great track. Great hook. Only love you when you play. Yeah.
Is this from Rumours?
I don't know which album Rumours is on. Since I started playing the guitar, I tend to just look and find songs I can learn.
Right.
Not really which albums they come from. I mean, I play a few Dylan songs nowadays as well, but I couldn't tell you which albums are on.
No.
They're just songs that I seem to be able to get my fingers to play.
I'd struggle with Dylan albums. I'd struggle with Dylan albums. I was never a massive fan.
Well, I've got a friend for that, Chris. He's the biggest Dylan fan you've ever met. He's got every book, everything you've ever done by him. And we both play Dylan songs, but he plays... some of them got 10 or 12 verses long, haven't they?
All about misery, usually, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to play, well, all along Watchtower, but I tend to play Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. She Belongs to Me. They're all fairly the simple ones. Lay, Lady, Lay.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of stuff. I try not to get into 15 verses of overcomplicated stuff.
God, that cake is super good, man.
Have another slice.
I'm going to have another yard.
Treat your diet to another bit. Look, you'll be letting them jeans out more.
Dear, oh dear. I've got me short. Yeah, you've already had a go at me fucking shorts.
They are not shorts.
Well, these are cut off Levi's, man.
Yeah.
These are proper shorts.
Yeah, and you had to cut them off as you put on a pound or two from cake.
No. It's around my legs, not a bloody waist. I'm going to really take you back, man. Bit of memories there. The only trouble is it's going to be difficult of when to actually lift it off. But let's start with a bit of this. You know, you remember this.
You better hope I do now you said it.
No, you will. You will. You'll remember it. Takes you back to that. I'm sure it was a Saturday night. Crystal Palace.
Oh, yes. Awesome, awesome gig. Probably one of the best open air concerts we ever went to.
I agree.
It was magic.
I agree.
And it's funny because I've still got the original album in its original.
Yeah, you were saying the other week.
I was going to bring it the other week and I forgot to put it.
That'd been nice. Wouldn't it? Lovely.
I forgot to.
Well, we catch up on it sometime.
We'll catch up on another week. I'll bring it over.
Definitely.
Oh, this was one of the greatest shows, wasn't it? Well, everything about this particular concert was fantastic.
He's never done a lot wrong, has he, Rick Wakeman?
No. He looked so good in them white robes on the stage with all the choir behind him and everything.
He don't look nothing like
that
now.
It was a massive... No, he's a friend of yours now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I said the other week, it's funny, we were just biker boys there for the show.
No, he don't look anything like that now.
Although saying that, that Geordie nutcase who run our swimming pool didn't like me and you going, did
he? No, no, no.
Yeah. I still say it was your fault.
That's typically you.
Yeah. We've got to blame someone.
I end up getting the blame for many things.
I'd blame Chris Allen, but he was too nice.
But I lit when I was trying to find one track from the, well, you can't. Because they're both... both sides of the album at that time one track, weren't it?
90-minute album, I think.
Yeah. But I ended up listening to nearly all the thing. I just got so, you know, involved in it.
So much back.
Oh, man. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And David Hemmings narrated it.
Narrated it beautifully.
Although I think it did, the early ones, it was Richard Burton, weren't it?
Yes, it was. It says on the...
I think it was Richard Burton, or am I thinking of
War
of
Worlds? No, you're thinking of War of the Worlds.
That's it.
You're thinking of... It was... what's his name who did that?
David Hemmings.
David Hemmings, because...
Who I do believe is dead now.
Yep. The War of the Worlds was the other one. This was fantastic. It was just all about being on the lake and the 240-foot monsters in the lake and all that dry ice they poured in. It was a complete show, wasn't it? It was a complete show.
Yeah. What? Excuse me. What would now be termed as a West End musical?
Yeah, it was
but
a musical.
This guy was
it
doing
was a musical.
It way, way before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember Procol Harum being on. I remember Leo Sayer. And a group called Griffin, but there
were you mentioned this band Griffin.
I remember them, but I don't remember there were two other bands on as well before them, who I don't remember.
Yeah, there was, weren't there?
There were six bands, I think. There was two bands I don't know, can't remember, and then there was Griffin, and then Procol Harum came on, obviously doing Wider Shape Pale.
With Leo Sayer.
Yeah, and then Leo Sayer, and then the Rick Wakeman, but it was one of the great concerts. Was one of the great.
Well, it was a festival, weren't it?
It was a brilliant
one-day festival.
It was a one-day festival, and it went, you know, it was so good.
I mean, in that time, I did a lot of them. Well, I saw the Who, Charlton Athletic Football Ground, you know, supported by Lou Reed.
Yeah.
Bad Company.
I worked for a show where Lou Reed was on, and because the only thing I knew I liked about Lou Reed was what was the bloody song? I was trying to think of one I liked. Any one Lou Reed song I used to listen to, and I've learnt to play it, and I still, for the life of me, it's just gone out of my head. What's that about? That's funny. Funny, and it was on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, I know.
And the song's gone.
It's not there.
I was playing it when I first came into the studio. I was sitting there playing it.
I come close to doing some stuff with
Harley came from Miami, FLA.
That's Walk on the Wild Side.
Walk on the Wild Side. That's it. I was playing it when I first came in, sitting down.
Yeah.
But he did a great version of that even when I saw him a few years ago.
Always reminds me of a pub in Peterborough. I think it was on Westgate. The back bar. Was it called the Grapevine? You used to go for a bit of the blow. Bit of your smoking material.
God.
You used to go down an alley, do you remember?
I remember Westgate. I was trying to think of the place, little place.
Grapevine. Which
was it called the Grapevine?
I think it was a Grapevine. On the left-hand side, you used to go through a side door and they used to have bands there, live music,
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember the place.
But you always used to get... You wanted something, you know, heavy to smoke, you used to go there.
When you wanted a senior service.
Yeah.
I remember listening to this and Tubular Bells with 8 or 10 of us sitting around in a... Victorian house on Cromwell Road with all the bed sets.
Oh, wow, yeah.
In a common room.
I spent some
time. Everyone had been having the special wood bites.
Yeah.
And we had this big paper mache lampshade. We covered it in Quality Street wrappers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on the returning fan going around. We had the windows blacked out. And some kid came in who was speeding. And he wanted to chat. He kept walking around the room at speed.
Right.
If someone don't talk to me, I'm going to jump out the window. And everybody was stoned. And he did, he opened the window and jumped out. It was 10 minutes before someone said, there's someone outside crying. We had to look out the window. And there was this kid with a broken leg laying on the floor. We had to open all the windows and get all the smoke out. Call an ambulance and the police came.
God, you know, I spent some afternoons.
And me and Smithy, rest his soul, he's dead now. But me and Smithy, we went to the Bull Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
After some concert, we went there. And there was only two girls in the bar there. One looked like Laurel and the other one looked like Hardy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but, you know, after a few joints, they look great.
Yeah, eating a bowl of rat is acceptable, isn't it?
Anyway, I woke up in this bed this morning and I looked across at this Biafran lane next to me. Right, and I thought, oh, God, did I really?
Yeah.
So I snuck out and Smithy was already in the kitchen. He went, don't go in there. I looked through the door and there was this beach whale on his bed, on the bed. We went, oh, my God. So we sneaked, we got dressed and we snuck out the house, pushed the motorbike 200 yards up the street. I said, we got away with that. He went, wait, we've got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, it's our flat. We'd actually done a run.
That's where you live.
It was that. That's how bad it was. It's our flat. We had to go back and leave a note on the door. Let yourselves out. We had to go to work. Yeah, that was a Sunday as well, I think. We just...
Dear, oh
it
dear.
Was that sort of, and this sort of thing was playing and the tubular bells.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he... It, whatever you were doing, I mean, this time for me, I was at the ET, I was at, on the papers,
yeah, yeah.
You know. And I mean, this kind of stuff, it just, it was with you every minute of every day. You didn't come away from your weekends, did you? You never did.
No, 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 it was there all week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was great. I say at the time, you know, my daughter used to say, you were really tarts, weren't you, Dad? I go, no, I go, it's just that... I was 6 foot tall, had 2 foot long blonde hair, Indian headband, suntan looked like I come from East Asia, blonde hair and blue eyes. It was, you know, you had a physique like Jean-Claude Van Damme. It wasn't exactly hard, was it, to bump into people of the opposite sex?
Now you've got a physique looking like a co-op van.
Yeah, now I look like a co-op van, yeah. Now I've got a physique like a co-op van, I'm losing my hair, my teeth. Life is slowly rolling away. I told you last week I was 25.
20 is 21.
21. Yeah, well, I've got up a couple of years in the last week or so.
Time flies when
I'm having to admit, you know, the odd wrinkle is showing. Just one or two.
That is serious, Kate, man.
Have another slice, Nick.
No, I better not. I better not.
Your waistline needs.
Oh, bugger me, man. I could cosh that. No worries.
Oh,
you can't whack noggin a bit of cake.
It was a great playing it now, it's just fantastic.
Oh, it is brilliant. Like I said, I sat there and I thought, at what point do you stop it? What point do you fade out, you know? But the bottom line is, I struggled. And I then ended up listening to easily 2/3 of the album.
Yeah.
You know, because he changed it. When he digitally remastered it, he changed it.
Oh, did he?
And he added a lot more on. The reason for that was he wrote a lot more in the original version, but because vinyl was a fixed time in respect of airplay,
it had to be inside that time. Yeah.
So there was a hell of a lot of what he wrote he had to drop off. But when he remastered it, released it again on CD, he had more room to put it on. So you've got the whole composition.
Yeah, amazing.
Well,
I've still got the original on vinyl, so...
Yeah, well...
Okay, I'll bring it next time.
Next time. Definitely.
I'll never remember. You'll have to call me and say, Paul, get your old Simons out of the way and remember to bring that album.
Lovely piece of work, though. Lovely piece of work.
Well, I suppose if you had to cut it, it'd be somewhere like now, where it's gone quiet.
Yeah, well, again, you see, this is where I was going to kind of fade it.
I think it probably is the right place. Because it's gone into that little lull now. Of anticipation for the next one, isn't it?
It's difficult. You think
it's a nice.
Where am I gonna? But it goes high here in a few minutes, so.
it was joining us at the time. It's going high.
Fantastic.
At this point, we were laying back, and the sunlight was coming down on us at the concert.
Yeah.
We were just chilled on the grass for this. I just had that great memory of him in all his whites.
Yeah, yeah.
And standing there with all of
the drawers, they poured that in the side, didn't they?
Half a dozen light piano type machines were anywhere he was doing all that. Yeah, it's very hard to pause that.
Yet this track is titled The Journey, but it's about 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into it a little louder.
Replenished with the water, the journey continued with haste, but somehow they find themselves separated.
Yeah.
Professor Lidenbrook's nephew, Axel, found himself alone.
And then it's got a special place in our life, though, isn't it? So
yeah,
I think
it is a special concert. Let it play. I think it's one of the greatest concerts.
Yeah, I agree.
I've seen enough of them, and I've worked on a load of them. But this was this is special.
And unworthy as he felt, he knelt in fervent prayer, and then in panic, he ran blindly through a tunnel, only to reach a dead end, where he felt panting for breath.
Because you had to use your imagination with the story, didn't you?
Voices.
And I always use the film.
It's like reading a book.
I use the film Journey to the Centre of the Earth, the original one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. James Mason.
Yeah, where they copied basically all of this.
Yeah, yeah. H.G. Wells, I think, wrote it, didn't
he? Yeah, whatever it was a great film.
It was H.G.
Wells. Because I think of this music to go with that film. Because I always remembered a bit where he was hanging on the wood. And he let all the burning stones come down on the monster. In the film Journey to the Centre of the Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy jumps on that big beam.
Yeah, he does.
To break all of the...
Good version, but I don't think it's as good as the studio version.
I'm gonna have another slice.
Yeah. Help your send, man. Oh, that is serious.
Oh, I know what I was gonna tell you. Because I turned up with Battenberg slices again. And what it was I actually bought a Battenberg cake.
Yep.
Right, from Tesco's.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago. I thought, I'll take that. But I forgot it.
Don't tell me it's with the Rick Wakeman album.
No, it's still, it's with the Rick Wakeman album. Sitting on the car. I forgot it. But I realised that I thought, so when I got here, I had to find a shop that sold Battenberg. And
I
could only find the slices.
Oh, I see. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
In a garage down the road.
They're miniature Battenberg.
Yeah. So that's why I got two cakes.
Oh, yeah.
The other one was a beautiful big Battenberg.
I don't have a problem with little cakes.
But I'd left it behind the album.
Don't worry about it.
I should think of you now when I'm eating it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's exactly. I knew I was going to tell you something about the Battenberg.
About the cake.
Yeah. I forgot it. It's up there with Rick Wakeman. I'm glad you liked my bike when I came over.
Nice hog that, yeah.
I'm getting another sunny day, come over. You can always go for a ride.
Yeah, that'd be nice,
wouldn't
it?
Have a little ride, take a
breath. Yeah, be a nice gig.
Take a few snaps.
Yeah. I would like to do a bit of a road trip, I would. I could get into a bit of that. South of France, certainly. I'd be up for that.
I'm up for that.
You know, make a book.
A nice way to do it would be to get someone to drive the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the luggage in. And me and you do the bike.
Yeah, we do that, yeah.
You know, and then... That would be great.
That'd be a good gig, wouldn't it?
Cool, but cracking.
Oh, wow.
Some of the places for your photography
rock
there
and roll.
Would be out of this world.
Well, I've always quite fancied doing this recreation of Hollywood greats like David Niven and those type of people who used to live out there. And, a lot of Zsa Zsa Gabor and, well, they claim that they live there.
I went to Picasso's house.
Did you really?
Yeah, and the Marquis de Sade's castle.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You can't go in Picasso's house. It's privately owned now. But you can go around the outside of it and things. And then I went up to the Marquis de Sade's castle.
Terrific.
And it's exactly like you see in the old Dracula films. Little cobbled streets and corners.
Good stuff. You can't whack a live track. One of your favourites.
One of mine. This is one of the great.
I agree.
This is
one of the greatest tracks ever recorded.
It's such a good, and the melody of the playing goes right through your soul. Now, this is something I'd love to be able to play, but it's far way beyond my talents. This is this just needs that lead guitar player, someone special to do it.
It's a listen track as well, this. Oof. A real listen track and consume.
Oh, yeah.
Inwardly consume.
Goes through your body.
Yeah.
There's points there where when he did a shorter version once in London at the Roundhouse. I think we did a night in London, it was called.
Yep.
Did a show there and he did a shortened version, but you could see people cry.
Yeah. Well, I think it has that ability, don't it?
Yeah, his guitar playing just goes through. It's not the speed or anything, it's just the feel.
Mm.
Goes through your soul.
Totally agree.
For me. I could probably learn the rhythm.
I don't know why. I've got to say, I haven't looked at the lyric. I don't really understand whether there's a story involved in it. I no doubt there is, but I think it's quite a... For me, this jerks memories of people that are not well and of people that have passed.
Well, know? He dedicated this to the Falkland Island troops.
Yeah.
And there's a video of it where it shows all the soldiers marching through the thing.
Falklands War.
Yeah. You know, brothers in arms.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah. You know, it's got that feel to it. And the lyrics themselves, it's a really good story.
Yeah, so I've never studied the lyric, but I think it's a war story.
It is. The destruction. It's just got that.
Probably even kind of touching on.
World War One. Yeah, World War One. It's got. It matches every war, Afghanistan.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right?
Yeah.
Falklands.
Yeah.
Guys
Northern
Ireland.
Wives and families and. Yeah, to go and fight for the cause or whatever.
Yeah, it is about the men standing together for our values.
Yeah.
And it's just a great piece of music. But you know, All Along the Watchtower was like that. All Along the Watchtower is about watching out over the death and destruction.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's a faster track, but it is about the same sort of thing, the lyrics are. And I think sometimes people miss the lyrics. In his case, you don't. The lyrics are a really important part of the album.
Yeah, definitely.
They're as important as the music.
What's this, 80s album?
Yeah, 85, 84, 85.
Was it?
Yeah. God, so many different words.
One of the few things, good things, come out of the 80s, I think, Dire Straits.
Yeah, I think they did the first CD, didn't they? First rock CD was Dire Straits.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The first album recorded on CD, was it really?
I think it was Dire Straits.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I'm sure I've seen that somewhere, yeah. I just love to be out of this. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I can play a rhythm section of it, but there's no way of playing that. Well, we've got a couple of people who could play it better, but I've only ever seen one person do a cover version. It was pretty good. Some things are hard to follow.
So he never played with a pick, did he?
He can use a pick. He does do demos, but he doesn't use them when he's playing. They call it a long thumb, I think.
I know they were trying to get them back together, weren't they, to do a Glastonbury headline set.
But he said himself, you can play for 100,000 people or 200,000, but there is a more better atmosphere with this 200 of you sitting around. Did you see the shows when he went back and did it with his mate?
And
played in the local pub with his friends from the old days. So that's what real people do.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a few long tracks, actually.
Yeah.
And they're on the whole track listing for... there was for... The last time you come round.
Well, picking songs to do two or three shows is... They've got to mean something to you.
Oh, yeah,
time, and they meant something to me.
This whole gig is about that. It's about, you know, kind of evoking people's memories and emotion to particular times, friends, family, situations. Love is obviously a big thing. You know, people... Women, in our case, come and go. Guys, come and go. You know, three people's lives. And it's very much about that. That's what a night in's all about.
Dire Straits were very constructive in the part of my early career in security.
Right.
Because some of the first security jobs I got was working on the outdoors of their shows.
Right, yeah.
And the start of getting into the crowd who employed you all the time, the main bodyguard people,
yeah.
was at Wembley Arena, when Dire Straits were actually playing there and had to carry the gear across the road to do Live Aid.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that
yeah.
was really the first time that they kept you in, the security companies kept you in the agencies.
84?
85.
Was it?
And they kept, and then they called you back to do other shows, yeah. and then you got the 88 show, the Mandela thing. And it sort of took off. It became a sort of word of mouth. You're in
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
A bit like your world, I suppose, where you're in that, once you're in that circle, that's where the work comes.
Yes. Yeah.
And it all came
yeah, I've
from
got
there.
A lot of, quite a lot of close friends in security.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That
well,
I've
of course, you meet
them.
At...
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Very sweet. Mm. Very, very sweet.
Me, the cake, or the music?
But the cake's up there.
Two out of three is not bad.
It's up there. It really is up there. It really is up there. Now, this is I've got to say, this next track really sums up the whole reason, or one of the biggest reasons, why I do what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a band called Humble Pie, who I saw a shit long time ago at the great Stevie Marriott, but then went on to meet a lot of these guys, Jerry Shirley, the drummer, and all this kind of stuff, and got a signed drum skin by Jerry Shirley, etc., etc. But this whole album, which was Humble Pie, Rock of the Fillmore, live double, I used to spend days and days and days looking at this album artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the inside, when you opened it all up on the gatefold, it was all live shots, candid backstage shots of the band. And I used to look at this and think, how bollocks, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that whole album was really, it sums up the real spark of why I do what I do. So I picked out this track, which, don't know whether you've heard it, whether you know much about Humble Pie, but this melts your face, man. Melts your face.
That's an inappropriate saying these days, isn't it? People throwing acid at people off motor pits.
Well.
Yeah, this is right down your street.
And of course, Peter Frampton was the rhythm guitarist.
Was he?
Lead rhythm guitarist in this band.
It would have been perfect. At the time, it's a biker song.
Oh man, the whole thing, but
it's
this
a biker
is
song.
fantastic.
All this sort of thing, like this, Radar Love, and they just remind me. And you know, I don't do Bluetooth on my helmet and all this stuff, because I wear open face. I can sing it in my head. When it's a sunny day,
can't you? Yeah,
I'm out on the bike, I can think of Born to be Wild. I can just drift off into the beautiful sunset. And
well, that's when I was swimming competitively.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do. I played back stuff, music in my head. Because training for that gig was fucking murderous.
Oh, God.
Stupid. Miles and miles and miles up and down the pissing pool.
I used to love diving, you know, all the summer. So learning to do 1.5 tons. And because now I've got bad lungs and I'm not supposed to go underwater now because you get pressure on your lungs. And I forgot a couple of years ago, I went and dived off a 10-metre board, like...
Oh, nice.
Well, I went under and nearly killed myself coming up because it would crush your
mouth. Jesus.
Well, you don't think, you forget,
No.
You forget.
Yeah. Till it comes to not being able to breathe.
Actually, it probably crossed my mind just before I hit the water, but it was too late. I was in the dive.
Oh, bollocks, I shouldn't be doing this.
I just piped out and I was in the dive. And when I went under, I could feel myself trying to stop myself getting deeper. But the pressure on my lungs... And you know, because I had all the lung problems.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, my wristband came off and it was 12.5 foot down or whatever, you know, 30 foot.
Right.
I couldn't reach it. I tried to duck, but my lungs are so bad, I couldn't. So I ended up asking some 10 or 12 year old kid to do a duck dive for me to get the band out. And I thought, is this what my life's come to? Yeah. I've been cliff diving, now I can't reach 12 and a half foot to pick a rubber band off the bottom.
Stupid, isn't it?
It's funny, I could do a length of Olympic pool in the water. Stupid. Now I can't get 12 foot.
It is stupid.
It is that thing.
Totally mental. It's like with me, man, you know, I've got allergies like you've never known. I'm allergic to every bastard thing. You know, I basically live on grass
really,
and bark.
You're dead, you just ain't fell over.
Well, yeah, it could well
you
be.
You just haven't fell over.
Yeah, I'm still seeing death standing up. Yeah. But I mean, it's basically since I packed up smoking. Packed up smoking 16 years ago, they say, you know, you'll feel great. I've never felt one day great since packing up tabs. You know, 40 gallons a day, that's the medicine.
You know what, I've just had a thought, just watching you there, which is, you made me laugh. If your hair was shorter, you'd look like the baddie in Die Hard. Do you know the boss of the baddies in Die Hard? Do you remember the film?
Alan Rickman.
Yeah, you look exactly like, you do! Somebody must have told you before. You've got that look, it's because of the moustache.
Mind you, it ain't a bad look, is it? Alan Rickman, he's a class act.
He was a nasty.
Aye, class act.
Yeah. Yeah, but you did.
Meet me now.
You sort of leaned back like that, and I thought, it looks like the baddie in Die Hard. You do, you got to look at the film
nice
again.
Nice suit.
Yeah. The baddie. Great bit of playing. I was watching the other day on YouTube, I was watching Leonard Skinner do a just reminding me. Yeah.
Oh,
just reminding me. So where's your next big thing? Where are you off to next?
Where am I off to next? I'm doing some stuff, picking up on the Ed Graham project. I think I probably told you I'm doing a fine art book and touring exhibition. It will go on to be a touring exhibition of Ed Graham, former drummer of the Darkness. And I've been doing that on and off for the past 2 years. We're picking that up again next month, or August. I've got some new stuff going on, some new projects.
I like the big pictures, they were fantastic.
Oh, the big stuff in the gallery.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Well, I'm gonna do a few more tours, you know, but they're gonna be very special ones. I've been putting together on and off for the past couple of 3 years of things I wanted to do on the back of the real big one that I did, you know, Size Matters.
Where Size Matters was fantastic.
35 feet high images by 25.
With it?
35 feet high by 25 feet wide.
Brilliant.
And biggest, well, known recorded open air exhibition in the world, we do believe, you know. So, but I've got plans to do,
you should have them on a mountainside, some more Jura Mountains.
Well,
you
know, it's funny because I didn't really want to do any more with it though. It was a one-off gig. When I launched it, it was to 75,000 people, and the total reach on it was 1.5 million people worldwide.
That's cool.
You know, and it was really, really good. But it was an art project. That's what it was. It was a fully sponsored show by a company called Structure Flex that kind of printed all the images, the rest of it, and they looked after the whole thing. You know, we worked very well together, and they did everything I wanted, carte blanche, to do whatever I wanted.
Good.
You know, and it worked really well, but it was. Other people had wanted to take the show, but I kind of decided, no, it was a one-off. I didn't want to go back again and do it. But I've got other plans, Paul, you know, for various different things. But, you know, I've...
It's not your biggest audience, though. The biggest audience was the 5 million people watching Crime Watch when we rolled the Beetle and we tried to do a runner. When we took the lamppost out.
He could probably... I remember my dad's reaction to that. Yeah. Oh, dear. Social, but no class.
My dad was all right because I didn't tell him. I never told him.
Well, I had to because I lived up the Kermit, so.
Well, it was a bit hard to hide the dent in the car roof, wasn't it?
Oh,
You can never forget that, can you? It's the next on the right and we were there. It just went.
Yeah.
This was just a Beetle, not a Formula One car. Mm. It just did not do 90 degrees at 45 mile an hour. It just went flip, flip.
God, this brings back some memories, this album. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, it's got that nice rocky.
Oh. You never get tired of listening to it. No. Great outro.
That reminded me of something else there, but I can't remember what it was. It just came up. When was this done then? When was this recorded?
This is about 72.
Is it?
Yeah, 71, 72, around that kind of time.
I'll always love that ending when people go right down.
Great, great finish. Great finish. Every band should finish a show like this.
Yeah, that is a great finish.
Wonderful.
That's
fantastic. Fantastic. I think on that note, you know, I think we'll tip out. Go and make some tea, shall we? Let's have a cup of coffee.
No, tea.
Tea? We'll do coffee.
Tea
and coffee.
All these years on, I still don't drink coffee.
Yep. Let's bob downstairs, Paul, and have a cup of coffee. And we'll come back next time.
We will at that.
Catch you later.
Stay safe, bro.
Bye-bye, man.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.